Hi, everybody. So I think I know most of you, and I'm just going to say really quick, I'm not on camera, but really quick. There we go. I am here. My mom loves him, so he's here too. I'm not in the office. They don't want me to be on camera, but I just wanted to say hi really quick. So I'll go back off camera, me and Kyle.
Okay.
So hopefully you guys got the handout. It says Adoma DMV updates webinar. If you did not get that, let me know. And then I can always just email it to you right after this. But my name is Julie Hollowell, if you don't know me, and I am with V2. I'm going to be, I do RMP training. I also typically do the sales and finance classes with the sales and finance staff. So, some of what we talk about tonight is going to be just a review of the memos that came out in the last year. This has been a crazy year. So there hasn't been anything actually year to date that's come out. So we'll just talk about what some of those previous changes are, kind of talk about some things that it's the beginning of the year we should remember going forward. And I am going to share my screen. I do have slides. So. Like that. Can everybody see that?
Yes.
Excellent. All right. So the first thing that we're going to talk about is new road improvement fee. This is a fee effective July 1st of last year. They added in an additional $100 to the registration renewal fee for any zero emission vehicle model 2020 and later. Now, you are not going to charge this on your new sales, only on any used vehicle that is zero emissions in your inventory that you will charge renewal on. So this fee actually did get increased as of January 1st. It's $110. You do want to double check that your DMS is able to identify the vehicles. So I don't know if you're able to change your fuel type. Make sure that the fuel type is correctly. If I go too fast or you need me to stop, just let me know. But you want to make sure the fuel types, when you stock a vehicle in, the fuel type's accurate so that it knows that it is an electric vehicle or a hydrogen vehicle, whatever it is. Renewal on those will have this $110 added on. So we want to make sure if you've seen anything short that amount, that means that your DMS is not grabbing that fee. The next thing, you're really not going to have too much of this unless you sell a vehicle to an insurance company or you have a loss that you complete the transfer to the insurance company's name. So DMV says that any vehicle acquired or purchased by an insurance company is exempt from use tax. And that could be if the vehicle is acquired after settling with the registered owner for a total loss, if it's recovered stolen and then transferred to the insurance company, or it could be just a vehicle that is registered to the insurance company for business use, that you may definitely be selling those vehicles. So you're going to see you're selling it to Farmers or State Farm, one of those. County fee changes. These are both in Northern California, but county fees get charged based on the buyer's address. So you definitely could be selling vehicles to people that live up north. Yolo County, that's north, right? I'm trying to remember where Yolo is. Yeah, I think it's inland, like off the 395. So that their auto theft DUI increased from $1 to $2. If this is a commercial vehicle, it increased from $3 to $6. And Merced County, they are extending their AVA program through to July 16th, 2030. Whatever the fees were prior, they remain unchanged through July 16th, 2030. And then any other county fees that are in place will continue. There's not going to be any other changes to those currently. Vehicle code not printed. They actually put it in the vehicle code. DMV did not have to publish the vehicle code every year, but every 2 years. So if you do have a business need for the 2021 California Vehicle Code, it's available online. It's actually, I found it on Amazon, oddly enough. If you Google it, you can find someone who can print the vehicle code for you if you needed it. But it is, I believe, available in an electronic format if needed. Use tax rate changes. So effective October 1st, certain use tax rate rates changed. The city of Hawaiian Gardens, the city of Vernon, and the city of Blythe. So those increased, of course. And again, we charge those based on the buyer's address. So even if you're not in Los Angeles or Riverside counties, definitely make sure that your DMSs were updated, because any sales to a resident in those cities, that will apply. And the city of Long Beach also extended their rate, their sales tax rate and use tax rate to December 31st, 2022, the rest of this year and the whole following. Revised 1000 IB form. So they made this clean air vehicle decal program so confusing. But what you're able to do is, even if a vehicle wouldn't typically qualify for a decal, if you meet the income requirements, so it's income-based, if you make under a certain amount, you are able to get a decal for that certain vehicle. Really, I would never tell a buyer that they definitely will get a decal. That was something that when I was a DMV clerk, I always had to remind the sales guys, do not ever tell them they definitely will get the decal. That is based on the state and the availability. But they're going to have to fill out this 1000 IB income-based form to say that they meet the income requirements and apply with the state. I really wouldn't get tied up in the middle of that unless that's something that you are doing for your customers. But I know that if it holds up the registration process and them getting plates, we really don't want to do too much on top of that. That would risk them not getting plates in time. But there is information on that. So they, if the vehicle was prior issued a decal, it may be issued another decal if they qualify. And this is not in a memo, but just as an FYI, the new clean air decal for this year is blue. So the previous ones that they've had, let's see, last year's was red. The one before that was purple. Or sorry, no, last year was orange, then purple, then red. So those are good for the remainder of the year, plus three. This one will expire January 1st, 2025. This is also tricky, whether we had this issued in January of this year, or it gets issued in December of this year, it expires January 1st, 2025. As a side, does anybody still apply for these for their vehicles that they have in inventory? DMV made that available. It is something that you can do if you have new vehicles on your lot that you want to say, we already applied for the decal for you. You are able to do that. There are some reasons why I would say it's not the best. For that reason, I have actually heard of dealerships that applied for them in like November, sold the car in January, February, and now that customer has an old decal that they lost a whole year worth of carpool lane driving. So then the customer was upset, but the decal was already issued to the vehicle. So it is what it is. Also, as a reminder, if you see a vehicle with yellow, white, or green decals already on them, they are expired. I remind the sales department of that if they're taking in a trade, all that means is that it needs some body work, because those decals are no good. Any questions on that?
Can you say those colors again?
Yes. So the ones that are no longer valid are yellow, white, and green. The ones that are valid are red, purple, orange, and now blue. And on the handout, I did put, you can actually just go to DMV's website and in the search bar, type in clean air vehicle decals, and it'll bring up the chapter and the information online with all the decal information. Anything else? Any other questions? Next. Again, not many of you guys are going to deal with this, but so effective January 1st last year, so you've already been doing this, new legislation required DMV to deny registration to diesel-powered vehicles with a gross vehicle weight over 14,000 pounds if they are not CARB compliant or if they don't meet CARB emission standards. These non-compliant vehicles have a record condition of 85 and reason code 2 added to the record. This isn't necessarily something that you're going to see. It does need to be processed at DMV if you're doing a P&O, a duplicate title, something like that, if it's non-compliant. Otherwise, it needs to be compliant to be retailed. Okay, online personalized license plate order. Because of everything going on, to reduce the number of people actually having to go into DMV, which would be someone who wants a personal plate and needs to go pick it up, you at the time of ordering a personal plate, you cannot pick it up at a field office. You have to give the license and VIN information of the vehicle you want it assigned to. So that is new. Typically, you could order the plate, and as long as you're paying for it, you can worry about putting it on a vehicle later. But now in order to get it to the customer, assigned to a vehicle, you have to provide that information when it's ordered. This really should not affect your DMV process at the dealership. It's just something that is nice to know. So when I was a DMV clerk, people who didn't even buy a car from us would just call the dealership because they had a DMV question. And they knew it was faster to call the dealership than to call DMV. And I was happy to help, but it's just good to know, to be able to tell your customer, if you want an original license plate, this is going to be the process. You'll have to do that later once you get plates from us. But it shouldn't change that your dealership's process, because I can't imagine that you are ordering new personal plates, just moving them from one vehicle to another. Any comments on that or any other questions on that process?
I have a question.
Okay.
We are finding that people are having personalized plates and they're not being assigned to the vehicles. So then when they're trading them into us, they're retaining their personal plates, but DMV is charging us like 3 years worth of fees.
Oh.
Because the customer had their personalized plates on there. How is that happening?
So is that based on the KSR that you're seeing all those fees?
Yes. And when okay. we try to process, when we try to clear the item, the DMV is saying, oh, you owe $3,000 because, you know, the vehicle is expired.
Okay.
And they say, well, they have this personalized plate on it, and we're having to fight back and forth because the customer never assigned or had that personalized plate assigned to the vehicle.
And that might be how DMV's pulling up the record. They might be pulling it up by the wrong plate number, or they, you know, it might be how, like when you run a KSR, if it's ran on the VIN, sometimes it sees both plates, the current, the old plate, and then the current personal plate, and it doesn't know which is current. So it gives you the biggest fees. DMV might be pulling it the same way. They might not be keying the right information. So I would say that along with it, that you would need to do a statement of facts. I mean, now is this via e-file or the field office?
We've tried it both ways.
Both ways. Okay. Because e-file, sometimes too, you have to change how it's looking up the VIN. You can pull the record by the VIN, or you can pull the record by the plate number. So it might be how it's being attempted. And it might be the same issue when it's at the field office. The tech might not be grabbing the right identifying number. So that one, I would say, next time you have an exact example, reach out. You can reach out to me. You can reach out to our support. And then we can kind of investigate based on the KSR, what, you know, how is it being keyed? And is there a way for us to overwrite that? Or does it truly need to go to the field office with a statement of facts saying, you know, this is the current plate assigned to it and the current record should show this?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Any other questions on this? My rule was always, if you have the plate, we will move it. But sitting and waiting to see if I Love Cats is available, or Cats with a K, or Cats with a Z. So if they have a plate, we can move it. And that should really eliminate this issue for the dealer, at least. All right. This one. Could they have picked more confusing wording for this? All right. So now did odometer disclosures, because vehicles last longer than they ever did, odometer disclosures now are going to be going back 20 years. And instead of just throwing 20 years at us, because I'll, you know, think about it, you have files, you might not have an odometer disclosure currently for, you know, a 2008 vehicle in your inventory because it wasn't required. So instead of just throwing that 20-year requirement at us, they're doing it phased in. So what that means is this year, 2010 and newer is required. And that will be the rule. So next year in 2022, it will still be 2010, but now that's 12 model years. So every year it's just going to stay 2010 until the year 2031 when that drops off. Does that make sense? So this rule only will ever apply to a 2010 and newer model year until 2010 is now over 20 years. And so they're phasing it in. But I would just make sure that sales and finance and used car managers are aware that it's no longer 10 years, that it is phasing into 20 years. But if it's 2010 model year or newer, it has to have it for the foreseeable future until that is older than required. That chart that they gave, does it make sense to anybody? Does anybody have questions on that, or was it pretty clear? Because I read it and went, wait, what? Okay, I'm going to take that as it's pretty clear.
So everybody is muted. So anybody has, and now I can't see everybody. So I no, you know, I don't see like the gals that I can see. I'm not seeing them go, oh, well, I have a question. So there is a chat. I'm not sure if everybody is familiar with the chat. You guys can chat in a question if you want. But if you want, if you have a question, you can unmute yourself and ask it when she asks.
Absolutely. And when I have the screen share up, like I can't see everybody. So I'm right. Just kind of like, no news is good news. Kind of going with that. But stop me. If I move too fast, if something doesn't make sense, just stop me.
Okay. Well, like I said, I am watching. I have the people up on like a film, so I can see everybody on the top, and I kind of scroll to look at faces to see if anybody looks like they want to ask a question. And I am watching the chat to see if anybody has a question there, but so far nobody's had any.
Okay, perfect. All right, miscellaneous fee increases. This is on pages 8 through 11 of your handout. There are a lot of miscellaneous fees itemized in there. So I just, on this slide, kind of highlighted the ones that are gonna be the common fees you're using, unless you are, you sell like off-highway vehicles and recreation, which I didn't think anybody that was going to tune in does. But all of those are in the handout. You want to make sure your DMS has been updated. And I know sometimes it's like, well, sure it was, but some DMSs you have to go in and manually do this. So I just pointed out the registration fee is $61. It increased by $2. CHP increased by $1. One-trip permits are now $23. You can charge the customer for those. You purchased them. So if you have a vehicle going out of state and they use one, you can charge the customer. Road improvement fee, again, it went up from 100 to 110. Transportation improvement fee, it looks like they are going to do this every year. They now range from $27 to $192 based on the value of the vehicle. And that's on page 9 if you wanted to see the itemized. Title onlys, 23. Duplicate license plates, registration card, title, 23. So some stores have that built in where it can be added into the DMV fees if they know the trade-in needs a dupe. Make sure that gets updated. Substitute plates and stickers, and non-resident. So that's any out-of-state used vehicle that's in your inventory. When it gets sold, that non-resident service fee is $23 now. This I thought was interesting. This is actually an occupational licensing memo, which of course still applies, but this came out to clarify off-site delivery, which is really relevant right now because a lot of people are, the vehicles are being delivered to their house and then they sign the docs. So this memo really lays out, just as a reminder, what the requirements are for an off-site delivery. So just like at the dealership, they still require all the same disclosures. The contract and everything should be printed and signed by the dealership prior to being presented to the customer. So all of those things are still in place. This is kind of an overview, but it definitely is more detailed in the handout and in the memo. And also it does outline that you need to make sure to use social distancing requirements, sanitation of the vehicle. And of course, when someone signs, go ahead and provide hand sanitizer, don't touch the pen, all those things. But I thought that was interesting that they did put out a memo to remind us of these things. Not that off-site deliveries weren't happening before this, but it's definitely a really good time to review the process with the sales staff. Dealer record storage. So really not much changed other than instead of an 18-month requirement for a hard copy, it's now 90 days. There's still the minimum 3-year requirement. All the other requirements are still in place. It's just that now after 90 days, you can scan it to a digital copy rather than hard copy instead of having to wait a year and a half. Records can be stored on-site at the dealer or off-site at another approved location. Just make sure that DMV is stored and has approved that storage location. Like if you have a branch location, and things are being stored there, make sure that that has been approved. Other fee increases on the occupational licensing side. When you pay for your special plates and everything, or you need duplicates, the same fees apply. So the registration fee went up to 61, duplicates, 23, duplicate license plates, ID card stickers, 23. So those increased as well. And that, as far as the DMV memos, that's all the content there. And there haven't been any memos yet this year. Anything new?
Yes, there is.
What's that? Oh. Let's see. So just a couple final thoughts, though, that now is the perfect time to review your commercial requester compliance. And that means making sure that your sales and finance or anyone who has contact with the information pulled, make sure that they know how it needs to be used and stored. That's not just vehicle records, KSRs. It's also driver's license inquiries. So we have that INF 1128 security statement signed on file for everyone. And remember, those have to be recertified annually. A really good rule of thumb is I had at the front of my folder that every March we would recertify. So even if someone just started in December and signed the form, everybody resigns in March, no matter what. So we don't miss any. Those you keep on file in case of an audit. If anyone's been through that audit, you know that they do ask for those. They ask for your log. There's a few easy things, and that's one of them. I mentioned it a couple times. Definitely go through a review of your setups in your DMS as far as the fees are concerned. If you need help doing like a fee audit to see if there's kind of a common, especially at the beginning of the year, you'll start to see $3 short. And that could be that you didn't get the registration and CHP fee updated. Or it could be that there's a new product that didn't get set up right in finance and it's not putting it as taxable or putting it to calculate the DMV fees off of. So definitely do a quick review of that. It's easy to just run the schedule for like maybe a month and see if there's anything common about the discrepancies and go from there. Review any relevant DMV forms with sales and finance. Make sure that they have current forms. If anything was updated, pull them out. I didn't ask them to do it. I used to go to their offices, and if a form changed, I just pulled them all out and shredded them or threw, you know, recycle them. But make sure that you review the forms, how they use them, when they need to use them. And that helps make sure that everything is streamlined for the customer, for you guys internally. And then any changes to your floor plan. So say your business office moves around and now the person who does the e-filing doesn't sit where they used to, or maybe the business office moved. Make sure that all of those changes are submitted to DMV. When you guys first start e-filing, DMV does get a floor plan of the dealership. So they know where the entrances are, where the office is located, what kind of door you have, kind of locks you have, but just make sure that if any of those things change, they need to know. If you get audited and those changes aren't updated, that is something that they're going to bring to your attention. Other than that, that's all I have. So if you guys have any questions, do you guys have any questions about anything, or was there something you were hoping we would talk about that we didn't mention? I'll leave this up for a minute and then I'll switch back over. Feel free to unmute.
I'm not seeing, there's nothing in the chat at this point. Okay. And I don't see anybody that I can see. It looks like they have a question. I'm trying to think if I have any more. I don't. Okay. So, well, if there are no questions.
There hasn't been that much change. I mean, luckily, I think the biggest changes has just been that DMV field offices were closed for a little while, you know, maybe there's more changes internally at DMV, but they didn't put too many procedure changes in place. Right. So, yeah, that's what I've got for you.
All right.
Does anybody need the handout that didn't get it?
I had one person email me and say that they didn't get it, and I sent it to them.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. All right. Well, that's all I got, you guys. Thank you.
Okay. If nobody has any questions.
I don't know if the slide's still up, but you can always email help. That's our support phone number as well. So, and you can reach out to me also.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for joining. This was a short and sweet meeting. Again, if there's anybody has any questions, last call. Oh, there we go. What about digital license plates?
Okay, so digital license plates, I know that there was an approved vendor. I really don't know where that stands. I think, was it Reviver? Was the approved? Yeah, they approved them. And there were some dealerships that were selling them. I don't know that that's something that DMV is moving forward with as like a change overall. I have a feeling it's still going to be like a piloted aftermarket product. Does everybody know what those are? If you've, there are some plates that you might have seen on the road, and they're like a digital black and white license plate. But what's, so imagine that there's a whole just thing set up right where your license plate would go. It displays your plate number. It has the tag number, the month and year. But what's neat about it is if your vehicle is stolen, it's LoJack. So when it gets reported stolen, it will literally display stolen across it. Parked, wow. You can display like a personal message, you know, I think within reason. But yeah, it, I mean, it really is, whoever thought of this, it is a great idea. But I think it's kind of at a standstill right now because I can't imagine DMV's ever going to, that's not something that they're going to have as like a, everybody gets one. It's just, to me, it's a really neat thought. It's a really neat aftermarket product. There's a lot of ways you could go with that because you can kind of automate your registration renewal. It's paid through Reviver and then it'll display the new year on the digital license plate instead of you receiving a sticker. And it's really, so if you wanted to look it up, it's pretty cool, but I don't think DMV is really moving forward with that. I think it kind of is sitting where it was at that I know of.
Okay. Any more questions? The gal that asked the question about the digital plate said thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Nothing else?
Nope. All right.
Okay. Well, again, thanks everybody for joining. And I'll see you next month.